Hi, this is Outbeat Radio host Greg Moralia. If you're a fan of Outbeat Radio or a first-time listener, I invite you to help us keep this weekly LGBTQ radio program coming to you every Sunday night right here on KRCB Radio. Please take a moment and make a tax-deductible donation by going to krcb.org/donate. It's secure, quick, and offers you some great thank you gifts. From all of us here on the Outbeat Radio team, thank you so much for your support.
Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, and questioning communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof. We are your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, our guest is Kodak, a two-spirit Latine photographer born and raised in Santa Rosa.
Kodak is focused on community building through the art of photography and cares about raising up others. They are currently raising their younger brother in Ronert Park with their spouse, Alex, and two mini poodles. Hello, Kodak.
Hello, hello.
We are really looking forward to speaking with you, Kodak, and learning more about your life and how you navigate the world around you and your photography and your family life. But first, here's news and events with our Outbeat member and our engineer,
Greg Moralia.
I'd love to change the world.
This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for the week of April 7th, 2024. The U.S. Postal Service is rejecting the idea of a U.S. postage stamp honoring murdered gay college student Matthew Shepard, citing it being too, quote, negative. The reasoning has shocked LGBTQ plus leaders who have called for such a commemorative stamp to be issued. Bob Lehman, a gay man who founded the American Veterans for Equal Rights, based in San Diego, had sent the Postal Service a letter in support of the Shepard stamp. He was surprised to receive a letter dated March 15th informing him that it didn't meet the criteria used by the Citizen Stamp Advisory Committee for selecting who and what is featured on a commemorative postage stamp. The letter read, quote, "Unfortunately, this subject does not meet current criteria for commemoration on a postage stamp. The stamp program commemorates positive contributions to American life, history, culture, and environment. Therefore, negative occurrences and disasters will not be commemorated on U.S. postage stamps or stationery," end quote. This letter was signed by Sean P. Quinn, manager for stamp development. According to the Bay Area Reporter, a spokesman for the Postal Service did not immediately respond to an inquiry about the veracity of the letter Lehman received. Lehman told the Bay Area Reporter that he hopes the Postal Service committee can be persuaded that its reasoning for rejecting the Shepard stamp is misguided. He said, quote, "I think it's just an education issue, hopefully. The person who wrote this letter doesn't understand all the many positive contributions that Shepard's death has caused and the effect that it has had." And here in California, a far-right collection of parents groups is suing California Attorney General Bob Bonta for accurately naming an anti-transgender rights initiative they're trying to place on California's ballot this coming November. Parents Rights Group, Protecting Kids California, is currently collecting signatures for what it calls the, quote, "Protect Kids of California Act of 2024, end quote. California Attorney General Bob Bonta said that such policies violate the state's constitution. Bonta's office, which is granted the power to issue official titles and summaries for proposed initiatives, has renamed the proposal, quote, "Restrict Rights of Transgender Youth Initiative," end quote. The so-called Protect Kids of California Act of 2024 would require schools to notify parents if children ask to identify as a different gender, block transgender girls from participating in school sports as their gender, and mandate that all students participate in activities and use bathrooms and other school facilities consistent with their sex assigned at birth. The Protect Kids group claims in their suit that, quote, as part of his duties as Attorney General, Bob Bonta is required to provide a neutral and accurate title and summary of the initiative, and that the title and summary mislead voters and mischaracterize the ballot initiative's intent and impact, end quote. According to the California Secretary of State's office, the Restricts Rights of Transgender Youth Initiative will need 546,651 signatures in order to qualify for placement on the November ballot. And here in the Bay Area, according to the Bay Area Reporter, the large rainbow pride flag at Market and Castro Streets in San Francisco's LGBTQ neighborhood may soon become a city landmark. At a recent Board of Supervisors meeting, Gay District Supervisor Raphael Mandeman introduced the resolution to make the rainbow flag installation, which includes the flagpole at Harvey Milk Plaza, a city landmark. The Board of Supervisors is expected to pass the resolution, which already has five co-sponsors from the board. The next step is a Historical Planning Commission and then a hearing on May 1st. I asked Charlie Beal, president of the Gilbert Baker Foundation, about what supporters can do to help.
If you want to help, please go to our Facebook page, the Gilbert Baker Foundation, or you can go to our website, www.gilbertbaker.com/Harvey Milk Plaza. There you can sign a petition to support the landmarking. You can also find updates on an upcoming online town hall we will be hosting on April 25th at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Also, it would be really great if you could attend the Historical Preservation Committee hearing on May 1st and speak up in support of this historic effort. Updates about both will be on our Facebook page and website. Thank you.
Charlie Beal told me that this flag and flagpole is the only permanent installation of the Rainbow Pride flag Gilbert Baker created. We'll follow the story and keep you posted.
For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moralia.
And if you just joined us, we are talking with Kodak. And again, Kodak, we want to thank you so much for giving us a little bit of time from your very busy schedule.
No worries. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah. So why don't you go ahead, Kodak, and just introduce yourself to us and tell us about your hobbies and your passions and your work. And we'll go from there.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. So my name is Kodak. I am Two-Spirit Latina photographer here in Santa Rosa. I'm actually here right now in Warner Park living with my spouse and caring for my 12-year-old brother. I have been doing photography for a long time. And a little secret I like to tell people is actually the reason why I got into photography was because of America's Next Top Model.
So, I love it.
Yeah. A cousin and I really loved to watch the show and he really liked the modeling aspect, but I was always such a nerd about the photographers. So when I finally got my own point and shoot camera, I just kind of fell in love and really explored that hobby and that passion. And I was kind of low income growing up, so I never had an opportunity for a yearbook. So I would record people on the final day of school where usually people are signing and stuff. And fast forward, I lost my job in 2023. The company went under. And it was sort of this question I always had in the back of my mind about photography regarding whether, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And I didn't know if I could do it full time. And at that time, my little brother had just moved in with us. And I was like, man, if there's any time like today to be a role model, it would be right now. So navigating solopreneurship has been a whirlwind. It has not been easy, but I don't think I would have been where I'm at today if it wasn't for the support of my siblings. My other brother also lives with me and Alex and my little one. And they've just been kind of like holding me down emotionally, financially, and just kind of giving me a lot of the support you need when you embark on an endeavor like this. So that's kind of my journey with photography. And I love it. It's been awesome so far.
Wonderful. So like where do you do your photo shoots and stuff like that? Just everyday people or what? Professionals?
Yeah, definitely. So I am super new to like the business side. So I've only been in like 7 months and stuff, but I love portraits. I love to kind of actually my favorite type of client is actually the client that says, I hate taking photos. I think it's really powerful when you can get somebody who's like not feeling comfortable in their skin to kind of gussy up for the day and get ready for a photo shoot and just take them out, usually in nature. I love taking out people in nature. It's a great way to kind of decompress, create a safe space, and explore with like lights and greenery and vibrant colors in the background. And my favorite reaction is when I give it the photos back to them to kind of review is, oh, that's what I look like. That's what people see. And it's phenomenal, right? Like we should all feel good about ourselves. It's not just portraits and stuff. I love working with couples, but I make it a mission to also work with a lot of folks in the LGBTQIA plus community, specifically like trans folks, because there's not a lot of trans folks in media. You don't see a lot of trans folks on social media or like larger media, TV, movies, and things like that in a positive way. So if we can celebrate milestones together, whether that's top surgery, facial feminization surgery, or just, hey, I feel really good today because I got something else happen in my life. That's a great milestone. Like, let's celebrate that. Let's make this a positive experience. So I actively go out of my way to lift up others that have a similar background to me.
I love that positivity coming from you. And so hopefully, you know, this is an opportunity for people to hear your skills. And I'm sold already. So that hopefully the listener will hear you and maybe call you up. I love that, the way you talked about the transgender community. And do you do like a journey, like before, you know, the, on the process of becoming whole?
Yeah, I would love to do more of that. Right now, it's just sort of getting myself out there and, you know, making these connections. In the last few months, actually, I felt really gatekeepy in the community, in the photography industry. There's a lot of, I'll sell you what I know sort of information and what is accessible or free and stuff. It's a lot of other photographers that are either not in the same state or further down south in California and stuff. And it's interesting because the Sonoma County photography community can be really welcoming, but I mean, I do feel more safe within my own community, you know, my own queer community that's has a shared experience as I do. And so kind of embarked on starting a project called Community Creatives. And so Community Creatives is actually bringing a lot of newbies and professionals together to go on photo walks in like a safe and sober space so that we can learn off of each other. So with that being said, I'm definitely just branching out more and more. Right now, if somebody were to approach me and say, hey, I like your photographs, I'd love for you to do headshots for me and my company, I'll say yes, because I do have a passion project. I do have an outlet where I can build up my queer community. So it's sort of, you know, it's all new. I'm trying to navigate it still. I'd love to do more storytelling. I have an idea that I've been bebopping around with a lot of other organizations in Sonoma County to get some traction. And hopefully I'll be able to premiere some kind of cool exhibit highlighting trans folks and trauma that they've been through and stuff and talking about their stories.
That is just so fabulous to hear this.
Thank you.
Talk about being visible, Diana. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
What more could we get as a community to see? For you to be so intimate with someone and get their vulnerabilities on camera and have them allow you to do that, I just think it's magnificent, Kodak.
Yeah.
I love the idea of storytelling. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mentioned if someone comes to you and says, I want you to take my picture, where do they learn about you?
I think a lot of it is word of mouth. It's pretty common in the industry. I try to keep an active Instagram page. I think something that I've learned about social media and the algorithm is you do better when people can connect with you. So like on stories and stuff, I do just kind of post what I'm doing in my day to day. Or if I'm not feeling good, I'm not going to hide that. I think mental health is something that we all go through, especially more so in underserved communities like queer or, you know, POC and stuff. And, you know, I'm human and I go through stuff. And so I post about it. And by making these human connections with people, they want to like kind of reach out to you because in some way, shape or form, they relate as well, whether they're queer or POC or an older sibling like I am, whatever, you know, whatever label I can carry around with me, there's something that I share about in my social media that they can relate to. or in my own presence, right? I like to be active in the community and stuff and mentioning word of mouth. I meet somebody and they're like, oh, I know somebody who needs a photographer, or I'm working with this organization and they need updated photos for their website and stuff. Let's get you two connected. And I have learned in this journey that you definitely need to follow up right when you get a lead or so, or anything like that. So been doing a lot better about reaching out to people and just following up and seeing if we're a good fit, because not every photographer can be a good fit for individuals as well. So it's always having that first call, like, hey, heard about this, what's going on, and taking those next steps.
So Kodak, tell us about how you came to be so loving and compassionate and caring about people. It's beautiful to hear. So yeah, where do you get that? And you're taking care of your brother, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, share a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So I am the oldest of five. I am from really young parents. So with you know, young parents comes an aspect of being parentified at a really young age. So my mom and my father had three of us originally, three little musketeers. And I was raising my two younger brothers at the time. And then my sister came into my life after I was born. And then my youngest brother and I have a 17-year age difference. So it's kind of just always been in my nature to be very caring and trying to protect them and all of that. But I am always really intrigued when people use the words compassionate and caring and loving about me, because it took me a long time to get here. I used to be really angry. I used to be a really cynical and pessimistic person. My mindset was just very negative. I actually left Santa Rosa to go to school in UC Berkeley. And so I entered the Berkeley bubble, and it was very interesting and eye-opening to meet other queer folks that, you know, I had never met before, or to see other Latinos very, very proud of who they were and their heritage. And, you know, me being Native American, I struggled a lot with like being kind of like an urban native and not connected with like my res native cousins and family and stuff. So I had a lot of like identity issues growing up, not just with my gender and my gender expression, but just a lot of like, who is Kodak? Who am I? Like, how do I show up in the world? It wasn't until very recently, actually, fast forward, I meet Alex, who lived in Calistoga. I came back from Berkeley at the time, realized school's not for me. That was a shattering experience. It was sort of like, wow, I usually stick to a goal and see it to the end, and I can't get through college. Like, what am I now? What is this identity? And I was working in restaurants and sort of like, okay, well, if I can't figure out school, what can I do? And a lot of mistakes were made, a lot of being young in your early 20s. And I met Alex and I just realized like, wow, okay, like this person sees me. They see that I can be very caring. They see somebody who's kind of worth it, you know, and I felt worthwhile. And it wasn't until some of the trials and tribulations that we went through after we first got married in 2020, we had a COVID wedding, got married in our office on Zoom in front of all of our family, who had the link to log in. And I realized that, yeah, I'm just as human as anybody else. And if I can't give myself the same amount of love that I give to my siblings, that I give to my partner, that I give to the friends that I have in my small circle, you know, I'm not going to get very far. I'm not going to change this mindset. So a lot of the self-healing had to be done first before I kind of felt even confident embarking on like a photography journey and feeling like, you know, I can do this. And now, with that being said, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, and I want to be a more positive person and make a better impact, because I used to leave a sour taste in people's mouths. I wasn't always accommodating. You know, I could be an a-hole, and I didn't like that. I didn't like having that impact over people or ruining somebody's day. So now it's a lot of, okay, I can actually be really funny, and I could be joyful, and I could be a safe space. So, and I excel at that. So why not be more of that and less of a closed off, shut down person?
Beautiful journey. And meeting you, I mean, when we met you at the event, we saw that. We saw that in you. That's why we approach you. It's like, yeah, cool. Kodak's pretty cool. We like Kodak.
Thank you.
So Kodak, you've used some words while speaking to us that maybe our listeners don't really know what you mean. And so you've used Two-Spirit, you've used Latine, you've used POC. Could you define those words for the listener and maybe put it in context somehow?
Yeah, absolutely. Two-spirit. Two-spirit is a term that I use because I'm Native American. It's usually predominantly for Indigenous peoples. It's my understanding and interpretation of it is I'm not a man or woman. I just have really equally balanced masculine and feminine energies, and I know how to navigate between those two spirits. They're very divine, and I know how to be very masculine if somebody needs me to lean into that energy, or very feminine. It's not something for everybody. A lot of other people in different ethnicities, they utilize the word non-binary or gender fluid. Latine is something new. I know that it's not the only form that's utilized for people who are non-binary or trying to utilize a gender neutral term. Latinx is another one that a lot of us hear, but Latine kind of plays on Spanish, which is a very gendered language. And so it's not Latino or Latina. It's sort of trying to embody all of that by utilizing Latine, because Latinx is really hard to say. So it flows a little bit more naturally off of my own tongue, but I know that both are utilized. And POC are people of color, and I am a person of color.
Thank you so much. I think a lot of our listeners maybe are an older, and they don't really know like the terms that young people are using these days. So we really appreciate you defining those terms for us.
Absolutely.
Do you connect with any ethnicity as far as being Two-Spirit and Native American?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there a tribe?
Yeah. So I'm actually Pomo and Miwok. Pomo and Miwok indigenous peoples were part of, as far north as like Ukiah, kind of beyond that, kind of like all of like Lake County, and Miwok was more like coastal Native Americans and stuff. So I'm originally from the Coyote Valley tribe in Ukiah, or really kind of like south of Willits, as north of Ukiah as you can get. And I'm also Mexican. So my father immigrated to California when he was young and met my mother. And there's a little bit of Filipino in me. And if people pay close attention, they can see it. So relate to all of those.
Thank you so much. So tell us a little bit about how you met Alex.
Oh, Alex. So Alex and I met in 2017. And we met on an app, which I think is a very common way to meet people nowadays. It was an app called Her, and it was a predominantly lesbian dating app. And I saw a picture of Alex. At this time, I realized, you know, I was coming very into my two-spirit non-binary-ness, and I always played the masculine role in a relationship. And so I said, I'm done with that. I want to navigate something different. I want to be the little spoon. And I saw a picture of Alex, who looked very masculine, and decided to reach out. And so I didn't reach out on the app. I actually reached out on their Snapchat. And so we spent some months just talking to each other. It wasn't anything much at first. It was sort of, hey, I see this on your story. Tell me a little bit about you. Keep in mind, Alex is awful at texting, even now. Just probably one of the worst texters. And so it wasn't until I started learning how to read astrology and natal charts, just really like, what's your sun sign? And most of us, it's our birth date. And then there's a moon sign, and all the planets have a sign. So I was learning about this stuff, and Alex one night was actively texting me, and which makes me think that they were at home and bored. So I told him, hey, what time and place you were born? And usually at this point, as I was asking people this question, I never got a follow-up. And so Alex goes, no, I don't, but I'll find out. And so once I read that, I was like, yeah, whatever. You're not going to find out. An hour later, and I was working at, I was a closing manager at a round table in Santa Rosa at this point. And an hour later, I hear my phone kind of pinging. I was like, what's going on? Like, I'm almost like out. Who's texting me? And it was Alex. And Alex was like, oh, this is my birthday. This is where I was born. And this is the time I was born. And those are all the things that I needed. So it's like, oh, this is first person out of many that actually answered. So I decided to read them their natal chart. And I kind of gave them a link where if they wanted to follow up, they could read more on their own. Later that evening, I get a random like midnight to like 1 o'clock in the morning text message. And I'm asleep. And I wake up to this text the next day, and it said, wow, I feel like I should pay you. I learned so much about myself. Like, you know, thank you. And I thought I was really smooth and really cool. And I was like, well, you could pay me back with a drink. And we decided to make a date where we met with each other. And I met Alex wearing chanclas. This is something that we like to talk about a lot because my very Mexicanness showed. Alex is and came to California at a really young age as well. So seeing this, the time a girl walked through the bar and we met, it was just instant chemistry. We had already really kind of created a safe space for each other. We had been talking up until this point without seeing each other. So to meet in person was really cool. It's kind of been history from there. It's mostly what our relationship has been, just a lot of conversation, a lot of talks. And they lived in Calistoga at the time. I would drive back and forth from Santa Rosa to them. Very, very quickly fell in love. Not as quick as a lot of lesbians at the time fell in love. It took a couple of months for us. But yeah, we fell in love. I have grown exponentially as a person as a partner with them. I want to say maybe within the first year, we decided to move to Rona Park together and make a little family. Now we have two little dogs, Chandler and Joe, from Friends. And they're the sweetest little miniature poodle mixes I have ever met. So they changed my mind about poodles for sure.
What a cute story. I never heard of the dating game where you do astrology. Yeah. That's a great pickup line. You might have started something.
I guess, right? Yeah.
What's a natal chart? How do you spell that word?
Yeah, it's N-A-T-A-L. So it's like, so essentially it's you figure out all this information, right? It's your birthday, month, day, year. You find out where you were born. And so you're supposed to actually get like the geographical like location down to like the degrees and the time, because the stars are constantly shifting and the planets are moving out in the universe. And so depending on all three of those categories, if you look at your chart, if you imagine a clock, right, a circular form, you have houses. And so your first house, your second house, they all stand for certain things in your astrology chart. And what sign rules each house in which planet kind of gives you more information about your personality, sort of. It's a little bit deeper than just saying like, hey, I'm a Capricorn because I'm born in January at this date. It's sort of like, well, what's your moon sign? And your moon sign is how you handle emotions. And your rising sign is sort of how you come across to other people. And depending on what planet and the sign of that planet in your sixth house determines like how you handle work, or in your seventh house, how you handle marriage and stuff. So it's a really intense way to kind of deep dive into your personality, I guess.
Do you taught yourself this?
Yeah. Yeah. I had a friend who was way more into it than I was. And she would spout a lot of like random facts of what was going on in the stars. And I was like, dude, I need to be more prepared about my week. So I need to start learning about this stuff. And it was just really fun, just really cool information. And it gave me something to do with my time. I'm a hyper learner. I will deep dive into any rabbit hole you present in front of me. So that's what I was on at the time.
Are you considering going back to school now that you've found your path, your identity, or are you just, you cool, you're just happy the way you, what things are?
I tried multiple times. I just don't think school and I are a good fit. I love that my sister went to school and went through it and powered on and they got their bachelor's. And I'm like, dude, yes. And I have another friend who, after 10 years, got her bachelor's. So if you can do it, woo. Like, I will be there to pop the champagne bottle and, you know, set up that celebration party. But me, you can hold your horses on that one for a bit.
Yeah, nothing's wrong with that. I mean, I have lots of clients, young people who are just not into school. And they are brilliant. They are totally brilliant, just like you are. I mean, they just know how to go and get what they need. You know what I mean? So, yeah, more power to you. Mm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I did
Thank
that
you.
Die. You brought a song tonight, and it's time for our song break. So would you introduce the song and why the song means something to you?
Yeah. So the song is Dance Alone by Taylor Parks. This song came to me during the lockdowns, during the pandemic in 2020. And I love her voice. She is phenomenal. She's a singer, songwriter, actor. everything under the sun that just embodies like powerful feminine energy. She was also queer at the time. And so the song was actually meant for her fiance that she was engaged to. So I just fell in love with it. I'm a sucker for romance songs. So.
All right, everyone, enjoy Dancing Alone and we'll see you on the other side. Joined us. That was Dancing Alone by Taylor Parks, and we are talking with Kodak. Kodak, the first segment with you was very eye-opening as far as your life as a photographer and raising your little brother and being two-spirit Native American, and it's just so wonderful getting to know you. And we have some questions about you and your coming out process, and we were wondering if you could share that with us.
So my coming out story, I feel like I've come out like four different times. I knew at a really young age, I was about 4 years old, that I couldn't talk about my gender identity or the girl that I was crushing on a lot at the time. And kind of always kept this secret. And then it wasn't until I got older and maybe around middle school that I realized, oh, I don't think I just like boys. I think I also like girls. And I think I have a preference towards girls. So I came out as bisexual at the time. I was maybe 11 or 12. And my father found out through a girl in my school that knew my family. And he said, hey, this is kind of okay, but don't tell your brothers, because it's fine if you're whatever you identify as, but it's not okay for your brothers too. So that double standard was very clear. And my mother's side of the family was sort of not really sure how to take it. It was sort of okay if I was experimenting. There was not really love lost, but I think a lot of us who come out realize that there's a shift in how we're treated and talked to. There was a lot of worry about my soul because they're very religious. And I got a little bit older. I was in high school. A lot of my friends thought I was bisexual and I came out as lesbian. So second coming out was, oh, you're lesbian. Okay. And depart my way into college. I will say, while I was at college, from before college, when I was in middle school, high school, YouTube became this very popular way to vlog and was starting to gain some traction. At the time, I was following this trans person, this trans man on YouTube, who was documenting his journey through the use of testosterone and his medical transition. And I always felt, wow, that's awesome. I love that for him, but that's not for me. That can't be for me. And I navigate college and I'm finding out what community really means about people, what it means to be in empowerment with each other, organizing and being involved with just the student body on campus. That was just a huge revelation for me. And I met a lot of other people in this queer diaspora. And I always felt very connected with those that were trans or non-binary or figuring it out in terms of gender expression and gender identity. And I just kind of said, nope, I'm okay here in this safe little pocket, because I just got people to be okay with me just being gay, a gay lesbian woman. I don't even want to touch the other part of that. And a lot of it was my own kind of like inner transphobia, because it's not safe to explore these things. And I decided that, okay, but non-binary sounds like it's right. And I am in college and my sister is reaching out to me. And again, we have an 8-year difference. And so I'm about 18, 19. And my sister is about 12, 13. And they say, hey, I really need you right now. I have to talk to you about something. And I said, what's going on? And my sister came out as trans to me. And I'm like, oh, okay. But maybe you're not that. Because I've had those same feelings and I'm just gay. So maybe you're not trans, but whatever you need, I'll support you. And my sister was being raised by my grandmother at this point. So we just kind of knew we couldn't talk about it at home, but it was sort of like, dude, I've got you. My grandparents always said, because my sister looks up to me, that they don't want my sister to know that I'm gay. Finally, I come back home from college. I decided to take a break. It was too much for me. A lot was going on for me during that time. I come home and I finally get to come out to my sister. And my sister goes, dude, what? What the heck? Like, you could have told me this whole time. Like, I felt like I was alone, that I was the only like gay person in our family besides our cousin, who's, you know, very out and open. And I was like, no, dude, I totally understand everything you're going through. But again, I don't know if you're trans, but you know, whatever. All just me projecting. And I'm like, well, I don't want to come to terms with it myself. How does this little kid come to terms with it so fast? And I decide to go back to college, try it again, and can't figure it out. But again, I'm really feeling this non-binary label really fits me. And I am very active with the Native Americans on campus and stuff. And so I learn about the term Two-Spirit, which is the masculine energy and the feminine energy that resides in all of us, but mine is equally balanced. And that's why I feel like I'm not necessarily man or woman, that I can just go in between and kind of leave it at that. I'm kind of okay with it at this point. Fast forward into 2017, I meet Alex. Alex is exploring their gender expression. I am already claiming this non-binary and two-spirit label really hard, but I have a lot of times where I'm really depressed. And during these times where I'm really depressed, I'm actively going onto YouTube watching these trans folks go through surgery and testosterone. And there's more information about, you know, this medical journey and transitioning that people are embarking on. And I'm relating to it more and more and more. But I kept telling myself, I can't do this while I'm in a relationship. Because if I'm in a relationship, I don't know if I could handle that rejection from a partner. Because that partner signed up for a cis lesbian woman, and I don't think I'm that at all. And Alex at this time is struggling with their body, their expression, and everything. We are living together at this point. It's 2018. Alex is at work. I'm at home sobbing, watching this YouTube video about trans folks. And I knew that they were coming home. I couldn't get myself together. They walk in and I'm sobbing still. And I told Alex finally, like, I can't do this anymore. I have to be honest with you. And I always go back to these videos. It's been time and time again in my life. I think I need to start testosterone. I need to talk to somebody. And Alex goes, oh, okay. Well, I need to talk to somebody too, because I think I want to pursue top surgery. I'm like, what? So I was throwing them a curveball and they threw me a curveball. I decide, okay, we're going to do this. I don't know how we're going to feel about any of it. This is not what we both signed up for. I was preparing for myself, not for you. But you know what? We're in it together. And I've never felt like I could be so open with myself about this aspect of me that comes back time and time again. I've just never felt comfortable with another partner. And so Alex goes to a gender therapist. I'm talking to a doctor about testosterone. And I get in testosterone about a year later, 2019, in September. And we move out of that previous home into our new home. And life is great. It's good. Fast forward to 2020. We're both on testosterone. Alex just had their top surgery. We decided to claim trans feels more right to us. Finally, tell my friends and family, like, okay, I'm going to shorten my name at the time. My dead name was really long, so I just shortened it because it was very feminine. Definitely didn't fit me. And I proposed to Alex in 2020, and then we go into the lockdowns. So people did not see us for a really long time until lockdowns were lifted. We can go out and be with people. So people remember a very like round-faced, long-haired, hourglass person. And then they see me now, which is full-on facial hair, short hair. I chopped it. I finally had the guts to do it. And we both are just presenting so differently. And it was really awesome. I think the most recent thing that I did was finally change my name. And I said, nope, not going to do that anymore. And this is who I am. And finally feel in touch with who I can be and the world around me. And yeah, it took a long time.
We're both kind of stunned. Like, what a journey. The way you look, I mean, so natural. And the way you talk is just so natural. Like, this freedom, you just like blossom into your true self. It's a powerful, powerful journey. I'm just curious how your family and friends, how they took it when they saw you. I mean, what was the reactions?
It's interesting. I reconnected with my father's side of the family shortly after that. My father and I are estranged. So we were estranged when I was 14. So he didn't know about any of that aspect. But then I went to go meet with my abuela and my tios and stuff. And it was sort of like nothing changed. It was just, you know, they reaffirmed me that it doesn't matter. And I love you regardless. And, you know, you are who you are. And that part inside you won't change. And we've always seen that part of you. My mom's side of the family has been interesting. I wish my grandmother was more compassionate, I think, and willing to show me that she cares in terms of pronouns and stuff. She cares. But I think there's a lot of people that can relate to me in the sense that when you are something that people don't understand, there's a lot of fear for the person that they love. There's sort of like a mourning process that goes through it. We have a great relationship, but I think people could learn to respect pronouns. They're life-saving. I wish that there was less of a, how do you think this makes me feel? And more of a, I want to understand how you feel. My mother and I recently reconnected because I'm raising my youngest brother and she's involved with his life. Does not want to touch the subject with me. So we kind of just don't talk about it with each other. But I think overall, pretty accepting. But I mean, it's not the way it was when I was lying to myself all the time. So there is a part of it that makes me really sad. And another part that I kind of just say, I don't care. Because now that I've come into my own, I really don't care. It's sort of, you take me as I am and I won't lie to myself or anybody else anymore. And there was a whole lifetime of that. And I feel so much more in tune with who I am today than who I was just 5 years ago.
I want to ask you about your sister and how that turned out. And also, how do you happen to have your brother with you, if that's not too personal?
So my sister, I love my sister. They're my best friend. We're always giggling and talking with each other. We're definitely sisters. We call each other siblings when we introduce each other, though. We get funny looks when my sister says, hey, this is my sister. And people look at me and it's just sort of, it's still a safe space. We don't really care. They are trans non-binary. They're currently living at home still after they graduated with a bachelor's in psychology. So yay them. They're teacher's aide at the Yakaama School on the Shawnee land for the Santa Rosa Junior College. So very trying to give back to the youth, work with youth and stuff. If it was not for my sister actually coming out after they graduated high school, I don't think I've ever would have come to terms with who I was. And they're just so powerful. I don't want to get emotional, but I look up to my sister. And I think a lot of people would think it's the other way around. But my sister has always been a very inquisitive, intuitive person and such a light in my life. When I have issues, I definitely go to my sister to see what my sister has to say. And they're just so damn smart. A little too smart for their own good. But they're doing well. They're thriving. They haven't medically transitioned, and we've talked about it recently. They don't want to. But socially, they're definitely adamant about their non-binariness. And they've always helped me kind of navigate it. And my younger brother, he started living with me just this past year. And my mother has had her own battles with addiction. And, you know, she's either fallen into it and gotten out of it or fallen back into it. And unfortunately, my younger brother couldn't stay with her, went to go live with my grandmother. But my grandmother did raise me and my brothers and my sister. And she was tired. I feel like she was really, really tired going into her 60s, not really being able to have the energy to go through parenting all over again, because it's not easy. And I think a lot of people say that and acknowledge that, but they don't really understand what that means, raising a whole other human and trying to make sure that they have a good head on their shoulders and just equip them with all the things that they are going to need for life. And so I realized he was lacking discipline and he wasn't really respecting her. He was kind of taking advantage of her. And I could imagine that if it kept going the way that it was, he was going to be a very young, angry boy acting out, which I didn't want that for him. We have a much closer relationship. I think my parenting style is a little different, especially from my older generation family. So I approached my grandmother and I said, look, you guys aren't going to have a relationship at some point. And if I take him now, you guys will. You can just go back to being a grandmother. You can enjoy yourself. You can enjoy your visits with him. You don't have to be the bad guy all the time. And right now, that's what you are. And so I took him in and it's been phenomenal. He washes his own clothes and I don't got to worry about that. He helps me clean the house. He's got, you know, his routine. He and I are learning the piano together. He's not a straight A student, but I don't ask that much of him. I just tell him, hey, perfection isn't required in this house. All I care about is whether or not you learn from your mistakes. And he's going to need an adult in his corner when he starts to go through puberty and navigate relationships and just everything that high school can be. And I have an awesome relationship with him. So
loving and so kind. So why you and not your sister? I'm just curious.
My sister is only 22. So I think my sister needs to enjoy life. And they were in the same home. So they were all living with my grandmother. And my sister could only do so much. They have an awesome relationship. If you ask my brother, who is your favorite sister? I know it's not me. He'll say it's me in the room, but I know it's not. So I guess, but.
And you're okay with that?
No, for sure.
Oh, okay.
Those words will come out of your brother's mouth when your brother is an adult.
Man, he better.
He'll realize what you did for him and be so grateful.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful that Alex is clearly on board with you, you know, in that process. So that's nice, too, to have a supportive partner, a husband. What do you call each other?
We call each other sweethearts. Kind of really dependent on our mood. Most of the time we're hubby. But if Alex is wanting to be a little spoon, I'm like, oh, my little wifey. And we play with it.
You got the freedom to do what you want, right? I love it.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Yes, we all have that freedom. Let's make it happen. So, wow.
So anything else, anything on your mind that you'd like us to know?
I think navigating life, love, and relationships is a lot for any person. I think we all have a story to tell and we all have our own journey that we're walking and stuff. And with the people that we meet, and our lives are impactful, even in the smallest of ways. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. I think I've shared in my story as y'all listened, like my sister was a huge impact, but my brothers were just as important. Old friends that I no longer keep in touch with were just as important as previous exes and stuff. And if it was not for all of those people and all the things that I've went through and the timing of all of them, I wouldn't be here today. And, you know, you touched on having a supportive partner. One of the first questions I asked Alex in the first month of dating, this was just dating, was, do you want kids? And Alex said, well, and at this point I knew I didn't want kids. I was done raising kids. I was over it at this point. And Alex said, well, When I heard well, my heart like dropped into my stomach. I'm like, oh no, I really like you. And they said, I like the idea of them, but I'm not like tied down to the, like, I don't need them. It was actually one of the first hardest conversations I had to navigate with them, because I said, well, I hope you know, I do have a little one in my life. And I may or may not need to take him in when we're older. And now they're like best friends. Sometimes they giggle and make jokes about me. And I'm like, dude, what is going on here? Like, you guys are over here giggling in the corner and stuff. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been a wild ride. It's been a lot of fun. Throw photography and work and everything else into the mix. And it's just, you don't know what you're going to get tomorrow.
You must have a following. I mean, you're just so courageous and so kind and loving and such a learner. So you have a following on Snapchat and Instagram? And
no, I don't think so. Funny thing that you say that, I'm actually kind of more of a behind the scenes person. I tell Alex all the time, like, if we were to do a movie or something like that, I would be fine being like a director, producer. And Alex is more like, yeah, put me in front of a camera, sort of. I mean, I have Instagram. It's almost at 700 followers. I'd love to get more, obviously, especially in that field. More followers gets you a larger reach, more leads and things like that. But honestly, I just have a great community that I'm trying to build here in Sonoma County of creatives and just people in general. And I have a lot of good friends. I care about those friendships, those relationships, and I water them as much as I can. And that keeps me going. That keeps me grounded. I would love to start a podcast where people get to share their own stories and stuff like that too, in a really cool visual way as well, whatever that looks like. So the door's open, you know. I'm only 7 months into this. We'll see what happens in the next year.
That's wonderful, Kodak. So you think you and Alex might want to come on the show at some point together?
Heck yeah. Yes, yes. We're a funny duo for sure.
And maybe you can bring your brother as well. You know, a family show.
Yeah. We'll see about that one.
Okay.
He's more of a okay kind of kid. So yeah, he's almost 13. So he's at that age.
Okay. So well, you and Alex, that'd be great.
Yeah. It'll be a lot more fun.
I just want to say how lucky your brother is to have you in his life. To get him straightened out so that he doesn't have to resent his grandmother and be disrespectful, and that she has her energy to be a grandmother. I love what you said about that. I mean, that's very caring towards your grandmother too.
Yeah. I mean, she's an awesome woman. I love her. You know, she raised me. She's done a lot for me. And, you know, as much as she doesn't understand my transness, you know, she's trying to get on board as fast and as much as she can. And I go to her a lot still. I call her up when I have an issue. I'm like, hey, I got to talk this out. You know, I need you to listen to me. So
that'd be wonderful if she hears this, if you allow her to listen to your interview.
Yeah, I would love to. Yeah. It's telling my siblings. So we'll see.
We are at the end of our show, and we would like to ask you for your words of wisdom. What would you like the listener to know?
Words of advice is learn to forgive yourself. You're just as human as everybody else around you, and you deserve as much love as you give out. We're all deserving of love. So when you realize that and you learn to forgive yourself for the mistakes that you've made because you're human, you know, you'll blossom. A lot of things will come to you.
Thank you so much for being our guest tonight, Kodak. We want everyone to know that just like Kodak, you too can be living proof that through being visible and vibrant, perseverant, and finding your niche, you can make this world a better world. This is Diane and Sheridan, and we will be back next month. Until then,
good night.
I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way, can't stop me now, and you can do the same, yeah. What have you done today to make you feel proud? It's never too late to try. What have you done today to make you feel proud? Mm-hmm. You could be so many.
still so many answers I don't know.
There are so many answers.
Realize that to question is how we grow.
To question is to grow.
So I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way. Can't stop me now. You can do the same, yeah.
What have
change, yeah. So do it today, yeah. 'Cause I can see your play.
Hi, this is Greg Morelia, host of Outbeat Radio News and Outbeat News in Depth. If you enjoyed tonight's program and want to help us continue bringing you LGBTQ radio programming every Sunday night here on KRCB Radio, please take a moment now to make a tax-deductible donation by going to krcb.org/donate. It's totally secure, quick, and offers you some great thank you gifts. From all of us here on the Outbeat Radio team, thank you for your support. Support for Outbeat Radio on KRCB-FM comes from listeners and from Rocky, the free-range chicken, and Rosie, the original organic chicken. Air-chilled, non-GMO, locally raised right here in Sonoma County with no antibiotics ever. More information is available at rockyandrosie.com. You're listening to 104.9 KRCB-FM Roanoke Park and KRCG-FM Windsor, Sonoma County's NPR station. It's 9 p.m. Stay with us. Beale Street Caravan is next.